As summer fast approaches, and many families prepare to make their way south to vacation in Florida, chances are good that many vacationers hope to see a real live Florida alligator, either in the wild, or more likely, at one of the numerous roadside attractions found throughout the state. Therefore, for this installment of the podcast series, we decided to feature this interview with seminal alligator wrestler Richard Bowers, one among the thousands of oral histories found within the vast Florida Folklife collection. Recorded on audio cassette on May 4, 1983, we hear folklorist Doris Dyan speaking to the 28-year-old Bowers at the Native Village, located in the Hollywood Seminole Indian Reservation in Broward County. In the interview, Bowers discusses the craft of alligator wrestling, its 20th century origins, and the historic relationship between the Seminole peoples and the infamous Florida alligator. For more information on Bowers, the Seminole Tribe of Florida, and the Florida alligator, please visit the Florida Memory website. But for now, let's gas up the family station wagon, load up the kids, and take an audio vacation to sunny Florida, the land of gators and the Seminoles.
We're talking today, it's May 4th, and we're talking with Richard Bowers at the Native Village near the Hollywood Reservation. And this is Doris Dyan, and this is for the Florida Folklife Program.
Why don't you go ahead and just hold that, and okay. It'll pick up my questions too. First of all, why don't you go ahead and just say your name and when you were born and where you were born?
Richard Bowers. I was born in Fort Lauderdale back in 1955, which makes me 28 years old.
Mm-hmm. And what's your family background?
Well, nobody else in my family was an alligator wrestler. I think they were like grassroots people. They made a living working on farms. My father was a heavy equipment operator. And in order to survive, they did this. And to a point, I guess they kind of supported all of our children to go ahead and have it better than they did, so this is why we're here, and I wrestle alligators, plus make chiquis, and we have a little business here.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers, three sisters. The sisters are Rachel, Bobby, and Edna. Two brothers is Dan and Paul.
Mm-hmm. And your sister Bobby is married to Chairman James Billy, right?
That's right.
Your mother, what does she do? What is her name?
Marion Bowers. She actually don't do anything except, I guess, she has no job, if that's what you want to hear. She doesn't really do anything. She mostly sews, also does a basket, which y'all have.
Little bit about the alligator wrestling. How did you ever learn to do it?
All right, let's see. Well, when I was 12 years old, growing up in Brighton Reservation, we had a 4-H club made up of all the Indians. And they had a competition among other clubs, other counties, of some kind of talent that these people would produce, and then this is the way they would compete against each other. And our extension agent said, why don't we do alligator wrestling, which none of us knew at the time. We're 12 years old, you know. And we got interested, me and another fella got interested, and we got an old alligator wrestler to show us how to handle the alligators. And from that point on, I've been wrestling ever since.
What was the name of the person that you, was the old alligator wrestler that you learned from?
His name was Johnny Buck. Yeah. He was a good alligator wrestler, I guess, back when he was very young. But it doesn't matter if you're old or not, you always know what the alligator's going to do or what his capabilities are. So he just taught us the dangerous points and also how to get away from the alligator if you ever in a situation that is harmful to you.
What are the some of the techniques that he taught you? What are the some of the like tricks of the trade, if there are any?
Well, the only trick of the trade is not to get bit, not to get over overconfident with an alligator. To, in other words, trying to show off with the alligator, which a lot of the older Indians feel that that is a disrespecting type of thing for the alligator. I mean, to the alligator. This is why when I wrestle the alligators, I respect all my alligators, because they can do damage regardless if they know you or, you know, actually they don't know you. But there's always that chance or possibility of getting bit very seriously. And I've been very lucky. I guess it's almost 10 years that I've been doing it. So I've only had a few nicks. One time I had 100 stitches, but I didn't have never have anything taken off of my body, such as a finger or a thumb or something like that. So I've been lucky ever since then.
But some alligator wrestlers do lose a finger.
Yes, the person I've seen his finger come off is my own brother, Paul. He lost his the finger next to his small finger. He lost that half of it, and that was during an alligator wrestling. And like I said again, it was just one little mistake.
But one little mistake can really.
Right, one little mistake can do it all. Excuse me.
So your brother Paul also does alligator.
Right. He doesn't do it now. He used to, right.
Not since he lost his finger.
Right.
Did anybody further back in your family do any wrestling? I know your own, you know, your father didn't, but did other people like uncles or?
No, not really. As I was mentioning before, the first time I ever got in contact with alligator wrestling was during the 4-H. And from that point on, we had a lot of alligator wrestlers back then, I guess about 20 of them throughout the tribe. And when they seen us do that, we had a thing in common with other alligator wrestlers, and this is where James Billy, chairman, showed me how to handle the alligators even better. Matter of fact, it's a more of a showman type of act or show instead of the alligator doing all the show. But I've learned a lot from a lot of different people, a lot of different wrestlers.
Does Chairman Billy do any alligator wrestling?
Mm-hmm, every chance he gets. He's probably one of the onlyest guys that still hunt alligators and catch them alive.
So you've learned also by watching him?
Right, mostly by watching him. He gave me my first wrestling job over here at the Old Village, and this is where I wrestled every day. And of course, when you wrestle every day, it kind of becomes automatic, but he always stressed that everything is not the same as yesterday, or everything is not the same, different alligators, different situations. But as I mentioned before, you just have that one mistake. Speaking of one mistakes, this friend of mine, his name is Mike Johns. A year ago, February, he got caught by one of our alligators in here, and that was only a 7-foot alligator. Grabbed his arm and spun on him with the arm in his mouth, and it broke both of his bones in his arm, broke the bones in 11 places, cracked them, split them, whatever you want to call it. And he's just now recovering a year and a half later.
Has Chairman Billy ever made one mistake?
I've seen him make a lot of mistakes, but he's been very lucky, just like myself. One serious bite that I've seen is that the alligator clamped down on his thumb, and he couldn't do nothing but sit there and watch it until the alligator turned loose, or he was trying to make him turn loose. Now, in a different situation, a man named Teddy Nelson got in the same situation where his thumb was being bit. What that alligator did was went ahead and twisted his thumb off.
Is the alligator symbolic to the tribe in any way? I mean, is it like a Is there an alligator clan?
No, there isn't. The only alligator clan that I know of, there's not too many people in that clan, but they're all in Oklahoma. There's none here in Florida. As far as being symbolic, I think the only symbol that the alligator represent is Florida. And again, the Seminoles also represent Florida. So actually, we're kind of like a mascot of Florida altogether. The only connection really with the Seminoles and the alligators are when the Seminoles were down here living in the swamps, they had to deal with the wildlife, the dangerous part of the area, and this is where the alligator came into being. The Indian understood the alligator, his nature, his instincts, and the way the alligator lives. And during the time that the hides were very expensive, this is also another time where the Indians were involved. They killed the alligators for their hides. Some even captured the alligators to sell them alive to tourist attractions, various tourist attractions in Miami. So that's about the only link with the Indian and the alligator.
Did they ever take alligators? Did people used to wrestle alligators or do anything with them before it was a tourist attraction? Was it ever something that you had to know how to do?
No. A lot of people think the that alligator wrestling is like to go ahead from a boy into the manhood type of situation, which is not true. Alligator wrestling was strictly an entertainment type of program. It was very dangerous, and when the population of Florida was increasing, maybe in the early 1900s, this is when a lot of the tourist attractions started opening up. And a lot of people still think today when they come down to Florida, they expect to see alligators. And they have every right, because we do have a lot of alligators. And to see the alligators being handled or being wrestled, actually it's just a capturing technique done by one man, but they call it wrestling.
But, for example, when they were trying to hunt alligators for their hides and really trying to capture them, would they ever have used any elements of that technique in getting...
Sure. Because anytime you handle the alligator, you have to have some kind, because if you go in there and just jump on them, you're bound to get hurt or get bit. But as far as hunting goes, you just shot the alligator and you went over there and picked him up. But there's always that one that you didn't shoot good enough that he's still alive, and you have to go in there and get him. And this is where a lot of the handling of the alligators came into being also. It wasn't really doing a show, but it was just capturing the alligator, retrieving the alligator, and taking his hide.
Because that's I've always wondered about that. You know,
yeah.
where the whole idea of alligator wrestling came from. Then I thought that there might have been something before that, where it was where somebody would have developed the technique of working with mm-hmm. the alligator, and then realized that somebody would be interested in seeing.
All right.
When you were saying that some of the older people felt that it was disrespectful to the alligator, what?
Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I would say you and me as an example. You're my show buddy, just like the alligator. And I am in control. I'm the one that's talking. You're the one that does whatever he does. But when I start abusing you or making fun of you or something, you're not going to like it, even though you do understand everything I say. And also make fun of you, you know, play tricks with you. The Indians believe that the animals have a place in the world, and of course, you know, the alligator's been around for millions of years and really hasn't changed a whole lot. So respecting that type of, I guess, age, or the way that the alligator has developed to be, it can be a man killer. They all know that. And to disrespect it, it's bound to come back on you. Just like a lot of people disrespect, they hit the alligator, they do everything with the alligator. And eventually I'll catch up with you, is what I'm trying to say.
Are there, you were talking about, you know, there are stories that people tell about the guy that made his one bad mistake and then, you know, that's it for him with wrestling alligators. Are there other kinds of stories? Like, do people talk about, are there certain times, like when a tourist came down and did something strange? Like, what happens when, say, you have a crowd of people around? Mm-hmm. Have there ever been times when a tourist got into trouble during the show?
With the alligator? No, not really. To do a show like this with the public, they do have a lot of codes, you know, cage regulations, and especially for the public. So we really have not that much trouble with the tourists. Oh, I've never seen a situation with the tourists and the alligator being in a dangerous position, because we do not let the tourists come in there and touch the alligators, except for maybe the baby ones. But other than that, I have never seen a tourist go ahead and... There's a lot of them that want to go in there, but, you know, with just working with the alligators, you know, it's just that you don't let just anybody in there and let them pet the big alligators.
I bet you have a lot of people that ask.
Yeah, they ask, because they... I don't know what it is. They think the alligator is dead, or it's not lively, or something like this. But that's the nature of the alligator. That's one of his technique of hunting. He's just laying there still, wait till you come up, and there, bam, it's gone.
Are alligators famous for eating other animals? Like, has that ever been a problem for the tribe?
No. Alligators eat just about anything that moves. If they're hungry and if they can sense that it's something to eat, they'll go right after it. And they can be very dangerous during this period when they're hungry. And the alligator is cold-blooded. This is why in the wintertime, especially if it doesn't get too cold down here in Florida, they become more sluggish during the wintertime, because the body temperature of the alligator is reduced to maybe like 65 degrees. But the ideal degrees for the alligator is 85. Anything 85 or near 85, or even above 85, they become very active, very, very fast. And this is where a lot of bites occur during the summers, because the alligator is extremely fast.
I see. So like if you're an alligator wrestler, you know that there are different times of the year.
Right. That affects the alligator and in his movement.
If you have to do a show in the wintertime, what happens?
We try to keep the alligator in a warm as possible, close as 85 degrees as we can. I've had the opportunity last summer to go up to Wisconsin with the alligator. And up there at night times, it was almost 40 degrees in the summer. And I had to keep him inside of a bus that was heated so he wouldn't freeze to death, or he wouldn't put on a bad show.
Because if he's too cold.
Right. If he's too cold, he won't move too much. And a lot of people think that the alligator is automatically a man killer, and what he's supposed to do when they let him out is go after any human being that he sees. But, you know, that's just all, you know, imagination.
Are alligators afraid of people, actually, or just they don't care?
The smaller ones... what I mean by smaller ones is anything above or below 7 feet. That's what we consider kind of small alligators. But anything above 9, 10, 11 feet, they're not afraid of too many things. When an alligator gets that big, he's probably around 30 to 50 years old. And when he's been around that long, he becomes more aggressive. Also, does not shy away from anything. The simple thing that the rule the alligator goes by is that once he is bigger than you are, he's not afraid of you because he's bigger. And that's the only thing that makes him dangerous.
What's the biggest alligator you've ever had to wrestle?
10 feet. That was almost 300 pounds. And the reason that I probably won't wrestle a 10-footer anymore is because it's so much trouble trying to get him over on his back, especially if the tail is like 6 feet in length and he uses that.
How does he use it?
To stay upright. When you're trying to turn him over on his back, he puts his tail the other way so you won't turn him over. So And again, a lot of people believe that the alligator is very dumb, but put into a situation in the wilderness, and his record speaks for himself, because the alligator has survived millions of years, and a lot of people don't know that. Matter of fact, it's probably a link from today, from the dinosaur age, you know, who knows. But that's how I consider the alligator, because he lives mainly on reaction and instinct.
That's interesting. What's the biggest alligator anybody's ever wrestled? Is there any,
I have really no idea. Anything above 10 feet, I consider, is much too big to wrestle for one man. And when they get real big, maybe 11, 12, 13 feet, they are so heavy. Their jaws are so massive that even just one of your hands could not hold him. And once that alligator has that much power in motion, there's no way to control such an alligator. So actually, it's very unusual to see somebody wrestling a 12-foot alligator.
What do you do with an alligator? Say you get one that you've been wrestling, and you wrestled it when it was 4 feet long, you wrestled it when it was 7 feet long, you wrestle it just about when it's 10 feet long. What do you do with it after it gets to be beyond 10 feet? You know, what do you do with that alligator then?
I haven't lived that long yet. I really don't know. I have one that I've caught when he was about 6 feet, and he's a real good show gator, but he's just really not that big enough to be impressing everybody in the audience, because he's 7.5 feet now. But once he continues to keep growing, I would say 9, 8 feet, he's going to be very impressive type of alligator. And with his capabilities, his quickness, if he goes to 10 feet, I probably wouldn't even wrestle him, because he's you know, he's probably get too big, also much too strong for me.
Do different alligators have different personalities?
Yeah. They react differently to certain ways that you handle the alligator, such as once you got a hold of the alligator and you kind of relax, a lot of alligators can sense that. And when you think you have real control, this is when they start doing their getaway act or whatever. And it really scares you, because for a moment there you think you're under control, and then within an instant you're almost out of control.
So the alligator always considers you the enemy or the adversary?
Mm-hmm. He'll do just about anything that he's able to do to get away or to try to fight you off. Alligators are not very aggressive by nature. If you see them in the water or something like this, they probably shy away first time. And if you're persistent enough to where he gets used to you, he won't even consider you as a threat anymore. And that could be very bad, because he can come right up and take a hunk off of you.
Do the Seminoles give alligators names? You know, like I know that sometimes, you know, you hear like people give dogs names.
Yeah, we have names here. Well, I can name a few of them. We have one called Bob. We have a little small one over here called Jumper. We had one in here called Throttletail. And another one called 99. That's because he was 9 foot 9 inches. And certain things like that, or Clubfoot, or Snaggletooth, you know, something like that.
Do you give them names because of the way they look?
The way they look, or if we catch them and we see some distinguished feature on them, we just call them that. And with these guys around here, you talk about one alligator and they'll say, oh yeah, that's Clubfoot, and you know, then you automatically know who you're talking about.
Do you get to sort of think of alligators as almost like people?
No. Mm-mm. That's the farthest thing from my mind. If there were people, I wouldn't have to go in there and wrestle them.
That's right.
Go over there and give them some commands.
What is the language that you that your family grew up speaking. Did you speak Miccosukee or Creek?
Yeah, I spoke Miccosukee. My father was a Creek, and whenever he got angry at me, he would talk Creek, and so that's how I learned how to understand Creek. But my mother was really the one that took care of me when I was small, so she spoke Miccosukee, and this is what I speak normally.
What's the Miccosukee word for alligator?
Halpade. Halpade.
Halpade. Is the Creek word different?
It's halpato, the back, suffix, the back end of it, is different. That's all. The first part is halpati, that's Miccosukee. Halpato is Creek. So basically it sounds the same.
What does it have a particular meaning, or is it just the name?
It's just the name of the alligator.
Are there any other animals that the Seminoles believe are related to an alligator?
Snakes. Before anybody wrestles or considering wrestling the alligator, such as my mother would tell me, she says, go to the snake clan, which is the relative of the alligator. Go to the snake clan, which is people, you know, like in our tribe. Go to one of them and ask them permission to wrestle alligators. So this is what I did. And a lot of people don't do this, and a lot of people get hurt. But it's just a little thing for me to do to make sure that I'm not going to get hurt. It's just every precaution to not to get hurt.
I was going to ask you that, whether there were ever any, prayers or anything like that people feel that they need to do before.
What? Wrestling. Every one of my wrestling shows, after it's overdone, and I'm not hurt, I just kind of look at the alligator and sort of say thank you for him for not biting me, you know. Little silent things like that.
Because I would think, you know, it's the kind of thing where you have to be, even if you know.
You have to psych yourself up to do something like that. And if you don't, you'll freeze. I mean, if there's something, like as I was mentioning, the alligator can explode into action with just not even a mere warning. It's just, it's there and it's gone next time. But some reaction to that type of quickness is what you gotta psych yourself up with. You got to think of every dangerous situation you can get into, and also think of all those situations, how to get out of, just in case you might face it one day. And as long as I've been wrestling, I'm still continuing to figure things out, get to know the alligator a little more, even different situations that I've never been in. So it's a learning process all throughout the career of an alligator wrestler.
Has there ever been a situation where, say, somebody from the snake clan didn't give permission? Or took permission away?
No, I've never heard of that. But I think if it's a good deed, not a good deed, but a cause, or if it's your living, such as mine, they wouldn't mind giving you the okay. But say like it's some drunk out there saying that he's going to wrestle the alligator, and a lot of these people come over here and try to borrow my alligators. And I said, I do alligator wrestling for a living. I said, if you're going to do it for a living, you better get your own alligators. But in cases like that, and if he wrestle, I can give them all the advice in the world, all the situations they could get into, all the situations that they get into, I can tell them how to get out, but they have to be the one to execute it. And if they're not, I always tell them that you could lose or you could be badly hurt. And when I tell them that, they usually shy away from it. But, you know, I'm not going to tell them, oh, you can wrestle, you can do this. Because if I do that, hell, they might, you know, get their hand bit off.
So far you haven't been in the in the situation that, was it Johnny Buck?
Yeah, Johnny Buck.
The guy that taught you.
Right.
You haven't done any
no.
of,
uh-uh.
You think you might someday?
Yeah, I might someday because a lot of younger kids, some kids do that to, not kids, but, you know, boys growing up would like to do something like that exciting. And I like to see more of that too, but I want them to be respecting the alligator, also listening to me because, you know, I've done it before and I know how it hurts when you get hit. I mean, you get bit by an alligator and it's not too fun.
So it's, if they want to do it as a sport, then they have to recognize that there are rules and there are
right.
ways, the right ways to do it.
Anytime somebody else gets in there and really don't know what they're doing, it scares me because I don't want to see no blood and I don't want to drag an alligator off of them either. But I don't see how this guy taught us and stood back and watched us while we didn't know what we was doing. We were very lucky.
Lucky to have him.
Yeah. The alligator wrestling is, to me, I consider it just strictly entertaining the people. But the people are there to see blood, and actually some of them want to see nothing less. And when I'm in there, I don't want to see no blood. I don't want to get hurt. So this is where you put on a very good show where the audience appreciate it. And you know you've done a good job in wrestling and putting on a good show that the audience feel that they deserve, because I would say 80% of the people that come watch this show would like to see blood somewhere. But once they see it, they don't know what to do. Just like in case of this, my friend over here, Mike Johns, when he got bit, all the tourists, they ran off. And luckily, he got the alligator off of himself.
Can you tell, like, what kinds of things do you do to work with a crowd? You know, how do you, how can you tell if people are really having a good time, or if you've got an audience that isn't really with you?
I've always captured the audience because where else do you see alligator wrestling? You know, it's just a unique type of thing that a lot of people are interested in, because they actually, half of them probably never seen it before. The other half is they don't know what you're talking about. And usually when I go out there, I talk about the alligator and kind of feel the audience out and see what they want to, you know, do. And that tells me an idea how dangerous a situation I could get myself into by dealing with this alligator. But if I've done a certain show, like every year, I know exactly what alligators to take, because I know the people, the area that I go do a show for, and they appreciate that.
Like, how do you decide? I mean, like, what type of audience would you take a big to?
A real big crowd. It wouldn't matter what their mood was. If it was maybe 1,000 people or more, I would take a big alligator, regardless. A big, good alligator. That one that will put on the best show, or that I think will put on the best show.
And what situations would you just want to take a very small alligator?
School groups, you know, kids. A lot of kids do not comprehend the dangers of alligator wrestling. They think it's all fun, and they really don't get into the dangerous aspects. They just think, it's... this guy, you know, he's brave, you know, that's all they think about. So, not so spectacular type of alligator show for the younger kids, such as the school groups. But we go into giving different characteristics of the alligator instead of making it like man against beast. We go ahead and make it educational for the kids, because a lot of people really don't know the theory behind the alligator of how he breathes, what he uses to swim with, how much power his jaws got. The jaws consist of all sharp-pointed, narrow teeth. They have no chewing teeth. You know, people don't know that. So this is where we inform the crowd, or the educational crowd, such as the school kids, like we have here.
Just in the background here, we've got a school group going by, and they're looking at all the things around in the native village here.
One thing I've seen is that alligators, one of the techniques has to do with sort of making them go to sleep or making them relax in some way, like when you turn them over on their backs.
When you turn them over on their backs, it's really not necessary to put them to sleep because, such as myself, I've been working with alligators for a long time, and I have never seen an alligator sleeping on his back unless he's placed there. But that's just a myth. You know, it came with the show. I mean, it came with the name wrestling. Turning the alligator over on his back and holding it there for a period of time, it's just like wrestling. You go ahead and count to three and you win. But in the alligator wrestling, if you don't get bit, if you don't get hurt, you win. So that's the only way I consider it. You can wrestle all your life, never get bit. But then again, you have to know you have to know what you're up against first place to be very cautious about what you're doing. Such as if I can't catch an alligator right off the bat, it gives me a lot of trouble. And the audience is, you know, almost getting bored. And I don't care about the audience. Matter of fact, when I get very intense with one alligator, if it's very hard to control, I don't even realize that a group is there until I get on his back and I know I've got control. But it's that type of concentration that you have to have, because just in an instant of a second, it could be turned on you.
So what you're really trying to do then when you're wrestling an alligator is you're trying to turn him on his back. I mean, that's the basic.
Yeah, basically. I think the chairman, I don't know if you noticed, but he went up to California for the Guinness Book of World Records. And he was on TV because they had a little thing where they gave him 2 minutes to actually get the alligator over on his back. And they had two people there in the panel saying he was going to do it, and the other ones could say he couldn't do it. But basically that was to turn the alligator over on his back. But it's very dangerous to do that. When you're trying to turn the alligator over on his back, he's struggling with you, plus you got to keep one hand on the jaw and try and turn him over at the same time. It could get very sticky in there because he can cut loose. Your hand could slip off his jaw, and there you are. The jaws is right there snapping at you. But once on the back, as we mentioned, it does create confusion for the alligator. This is why he lays there for, I would say, 5 or 10 minutes, and eventually he'll turn over on his back, but he's basically not sleeping.
Yeah, so he's sort of disoriented.
Yeah, disoriented. The sensation of somebody blindfolding you, hanging you upside down, and spinning you around, and asking you which way you're facing. That's about the same sensation I can get with the alligator when you turn him over on his back.
Is the hardest part to try to get an alligator to turn over?
Yeah, that's the hardest part. The more dangerous part is where you have to just hold the alligator's jaws with your chin. That's what we call the bulldog and the alligator. And that was done because if you was there by yourself and had an alligator, there was nobody to help you tie the alligator's jaws up. So this was the technique pinning the alligator's jaws between your chin and chest, holding it there just enough time where you can have your hands free and tie the alligator's jaws up as quick as you can. But nowadays we just extend our hands out and let them know that the chin and chest is doing a job of holding the alligator's jaw.
That's interesting. So in other words, that technique was developed many years ago, mm-hmm. when it was just one person against one alligator.
The only thing that has nothing to do with capturing the alligator is once you get or straddling the alligator and setting on his back, you open the jaws up. That was not done because you didn't want to open the jaws up out in the woods or anything like that. That's one. Also, any other techniques, such as I have one technique, and when the jaws are open, just very small type of touch or movement beside his jaw or inside the jaw, he automatically slams shut. And in working with the alligators, that I do is when they open their mouth, I have this one particular one that I know very good. And I place my finger in the jaws and touch the roof of his mouth and get my finger out before he slams shut. So that's one of the techniques that I keep the audience up on their feet.
And those are some things that you've developed.
Right.
Just in working with them, maybe other alligator rescues don't do that.
No. And you never see me stick my head in the alligator's mouth.
But do some?
Some people do.
How many wrestlers are there now in the tribe?
I would say less than 10. I mean, wrestlers where you can put an alligator out there and say, we're going to wrestle. You want to wrestle? They'll say, okay. People like that. But some guys have said, no, not today.
Well, Richard, one final question. Do you ever have, contests, between you and another mm-hmm. alligator wrestler to just either compare techniques or see which one can turn an alligator over quicker or that kind of thing? Do people do that?
We just had one this year in March. You ever heard of a little place called Moorhaven? They have a little festival there. It's called Chalanecta. That's an Indian word for Big Bass Day. And we had a wrestling contest. 4 people entered. And it was a contest where the audience were as judge, because the more exciting show, also your speaker has to know what you're going to do, such as a dangerous technique, such as with the finger, like I told you. Have to let him know to boost your points up, because the audience is there waiting and they're ready for that trick, or they're getting more excited as to where what the alligator is going to react like. So I won that last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this year, I mean. We got a trophy up there in the front.
Yeah. That's interesting. Each different wrestler would develop their mm-hmm. own audience, ways of keeping the audience with them interested.
And another thing is that one technique which a lot of people don't really look at is anytime you go up there to wrestle the alligator, a lot of people carry a stick and, kind of feel the alligator out. But in a contest, myself, I don't even care a stick. I go up there and poke them with my fingers and see how they react. So that's another way to enthuse the crowd.
Do you feel that, are there any non-Seminoles that have tried to do alligator wrestling?
Yep.
And are there differences that you've seen, between the way, a white person reacts and the way a Seminole reacts? Or works with the alligator?
I think in most of the people's mind that they would rather see an Indian wrestle the alligator. And I think that's where all of this, that question you asked lies, because it seems like if a non-Indian does it, it kind of makes it look like anybody can do it. But my buddy here, Skeet, he can wrestle the alligator, but as I mentioned, he doesn't take the precautions. He probably doesn't respect the alligators the way I do, but he has his own technique. So it's his own way of dealing with that alligator, and it's my way of dealing with it. But as you asked me, I'd rather see an Indian wrestle.
And Skeet is an Indian.
Yeah, he's part Cherokee, but again, Cherokees didn't wrestle alligators either.
Yeah, Seminoles really are the only Indian group that mm-hmm. that deal with alligators. Do the ones out in Oklahoma, do the Seminoles out in Oklahoma do any?
I even wrestled in Oklahoma.
Really?
Those people, they're worse than tourists. Indians out there are worse than tourists. They want to see more blood.
They really want to see you.
Yeah, they really want to see you get hurt.
That's funny. I know, you wouldn't think that.
Yeah.